The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
So, Aaron, I want to make sure I understand for all of our listeners, these new vaccine mandates at sporting events. Seahawks and Sounders, it's either proof of vaccination or a negative test within 72 hours.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. The Kraken, it has to be proof of vaccination.
Correct. No negative tests will do there. Yeah.
And then the Mariners, they're going to hold off until October.
If the Mariners make the playoffs, that's when the vaccine rules will take effect there at T-Mobile Park. Uh-huh. And also UW and Wazoo, they'll also have test options at their games if you don't have the vaccine.
But only if the Mariners make the playoffs.
Yes.
Correct. Will we need to worry about that?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Chances are dropping quickly.
I think COVID will dissipate by 2041.
So. Oh,
Low blow. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. All right. Let's get right into this hour's Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
A few weeks ago, the state of Washington implemented some of the most outrageous laws. That's some of the most outrageously restrictive laws in the United States of America to handcuff our police for going after criminals. And so for days, I chronicled stories all around the state of where dangerous criminals were not pursued by the police, including a murder down in the South End here, where they were not being pursued because of the Democrats' new law in Olympia that says police have to have probable cause before they pursue, before they chase after somebody. And, you know, what these lawmakers apparently don't know is that officers often determine probable cause in the course of questioning possible suspects, but now they can't even corral those suspects because you have to have probable cause first. So what it's resulted in is lots of criminals going free. And while I did the story daily a few weeks ago just to illustrate the severity of the problem, I do want to periodically review just how outrageously dangerous these new laws are by our state legislature. And a perfect example is what happened just a week or so ago down in Auburn, where a woman called 911 and she said that she had been carjacked, that her 2016 Lexus had been stolen from her at gunpoint. She was able to identify the suspect in a photo montage. But then what happened after that is an example of how politicians are making our state one of the most dangerous, criminal-friendly states in the United States of America. Colby Cressley, he is the PIO for the Auburn Police Department. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. I appreciate your time this afternoon, sir.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. So let's pick it up. This woman was carjacked at gunpoint. She identified the guy in a photo montage. And then the next day on September 1st, let me play for my listeners, Colby, just a little bit of the audio as King County Guardian 1 helicopter was in the air and spotted this Lexus that had been stolen.
I don't have all the details of this case, but unless we have PC for that occupant, we cannot pursue.
Okay, they're saying unless we have PC of the occupant, we cannot pursue. PC, of course, being probable cause. So what are we hearing there, Colby?
Absolutely. So what happened was the LoJack, the vehicle had a LoJack, and it was turned on. 24 hours later, Guardian 1 out of King County picked up the ping from LoJack on this 2016 Lexus RX, which a day prior had been stolen by gunpoint. So when the vehicle was pinged at that time, it had been a full 24 hours later. Therefore, our officers here at Auburn PD did not have the probable cause that they had the day prior, because at that time, 24 hours had passed, and they did not know if the person who was driving the vehicle was, in fact, the same person who had stolen the car at gunpoint. So because of that, and the driver was wearing a mask, they weren't able to develop PC, which is what you're hearing over the video there. the guardian one is asking, you know, here's the vehicle, and the person on the radio is responding, we don't have PC, so we can't pursue.
I'm kind of laughing here just to mask my rage as I hear this, because, I mean, this is a very dangerous crime. We have politicians all the time telling us how we need to get tougher gun laws, and yet here's an armed carjacking where, you know, reasonable minds would say you have enough to at least check and see if this is the armed carjacker. Let me play a little bit more from the chopper here.
Okay, and he's going under 167. Vehicle was taken in an armed carjacking.
Yeah, I'm aware. Just state law. If you're able to follow, we can maybe advise WSD.
All right, well, they have the same deal. We're about out of gas, so if no one's going to work on it, we're just going to let it go.
We're just going to let go. And so I assume that was the officer in the car saying they, meaning Guardian 1, they have the same deal. So even the helicopter couldn't continue to pursue and track them if they hadn't an absolute identity of who was driving. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically correct. So we asked Guardian 1 if they could continue to follow and track the vehicle, but they were almost out of gas. And since we did not have probable cause we can't pursue, and it falls under House Bill 1310, where, you know, law enforcement officers are only able to pursue vehicles for certain crimes, and certain criteria must be met for us to be able to pursue some of these crimes. So the fact that we didn't have probable cause on a carjacking, I know it was the car was still pinged as stolen, and whoever was driving that vehicle was driving a stolen vehicle, but driving a stolen vehicle is not reason enough to pursue. It has to be one of the criteria that has to be met for it to be something that we can then pursue.
I mean, this is really amazing. And the conditions under which you can pursue is if it was a violent offense or a sex offense. Certainly a carjacking, correct, an armed carjacking is a violent offense. But since this was a day later, you weren't 100% certain that was the carjacker behind the wheel. So that's why you guys had to call it off, right?
Absolutely. You know, other factors need to be considered as well. You know, weather conditions, traffic conditions, roadway conditions. Is the area that they're in residential? Are there children walking around during school hours? So, you know, multiple things have to go into factor here. But yes, under the new House Bill 1310, that's definitely a big reason why we were unable to pursue.
And when you say there are certain crimes and just driving a stolen car would not be one, I remember, you know, this several years ago in California when, you know, Grand Theft Auto, there were so many auto thefts, and we're certainly seeing that in the Puget Sound area here in 2021. When there are so many auto thefts, there were some Grand Theft Auto laws that were passed that elevated that crime into one of the highest priorities. And we saw car thefts drop dramatically in California when that happened. Here we have epidemic of car thefts in our region, and yet that is not considered a violent enough crime in and of itself for you guys to pursue. That's unbelievable to me.
That's the truth. We're not allowed to pursue under those circumstances. As mentioned before, you know, Auburn police have established probable cause for the robbery one on a specific suspect, but when Guardian 1 originally located the vehicle in Auburn, which was roughly 24 hours later, you know, they just did not have the probable cause that was needed. Stolen vehicles are often passed between subjects numerous times. Since a significant amount of time had passed since that robbery, we could not prove the suspect driving the stolen vehicle was the one who committed the robbery in the first place. And as you were mentioning, you know, auto theft in King County is a major issue. It's pretty much double the amount of stolen cars than any other county in the state of Washington. So it's definitely an issue that we're seeing, and we're seeing a lot of repeat offenders out there on the roadways. But that's something that we know we have to try to figure out and have to try to stop.
So what happened to this guy? What happened to the car? What happened to the presumed carjacker, the alleged carjacker?
Yeah, absolutely. So the car was recovered, which is the good news. We were able to recover the car. However, I have not heard yet I would need to speak with one of the officers if the suspect was apprehended or not. I'm not sure.
But, okay, so if not, if you just found the car, not the carjacker, then there's somebody with a gun who doesn't mind using it to steal somebody's vehicle running around a free person today because of the state legislature, the Democrats in the legislature tying your guys' hands. I mean, that's essentially what has happened here, right?
Essentially, yeah. We understand this may be a frustrating time for a lot of people, but, you know, Auburn PD is compelled to abide by current Washington state law, and they, even though cases like this might happen, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we can do everything in our power to continue to, you know, be the best we can be in Auburn and protecting the community.
Their thing, and I'll let you go in just a sec here, but their thing that is infuriating, I had the state rep who sponsored this bill, Jesse Johnson, I had him on my show a few weeks ago, and he said it had shortcomings, but he said some things that were just outrageous. In the case of where they had to let a suspected murderer go down in the South End, he said that the police could have just walked alongside him and kept talking to him and tried to, you know, like shepherd dog him into a corner because they weren't able to grab him up. And it's like people are making laws for the cops who have absolutely no idea what police work is like. He also said in the case of a guy who stole a school bus in Leavenworth area and drove it across the state and crashed into his house where his wife was, and he said, well, even the guy wasn't speeding, he was a low-speed chase, but the cops could have said he looked like a drunk driver, and then they could have initiated the stop. But it was almost like the state legislator was saying, well, the police can still lie to try to pull these guys over. And you and I both know that if officers start lying, first of all, it's not what you're supposed to do. And secondly, a defense attorney would be all over that if that's what you guys had to resort to get around this law.
You know, the big thing here is that what people need to understand is the difference between reasonable suspicion and probable cause. These House bills and new laws that have gone into place, officers could stop people on reasonable suspicion and question them for a few minutes to see if this is their guy or not. Now, after this, they can't do that anymore, so they have to establish probable cause. And we actually have a lot of great videos detailing the difference between reasonable suspicion and probable cause and when officers can and can't pursue on our Facebook page at Auburn Moab Police Department. And I definitely recommend people going and checking that out to get a better understanding of what this all means and what it means for everyone moving forward.
Yeah, and the other thing everybody needs to know is the legislature has made the state far more dangerous with these laws. A lot of criminals are going free, and this is something that has to get fixed. I think they should have called a special session to fix this because it's such a serious issue. But I appreciate all the insights, and I'm glad you could come on with me this afternoon, Colby. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Okay, you just say. Colby Crossley is the public information officer for the Auburn Police Department. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
It's unbelievable how time flies by, but this Saturday is the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 radical Islamic attack on America, when two planes were flown into the World Trade Center towers, another one into the Pentagon, and a fourth presumably headed for the U.S. Capitol, Flight 93, where heroic passengers were able to overpower the terrorists before it was able to crash into a building. Spike Lee, the filmmaker, he is doing a four-part documentary on 9/11. Very controversial, because in the last half hour, he interviewed architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. These are the 9/11 conspiracy truthers who believe that the World Trade Center buildings were blown up. There was a controlled demolition. that it was an inside job. And Spike Lee has now removed that from this documentary.
Following growing criticism, Spike Lee has scrubbed footage featuring 9/11 conspiracy theories from the final chapter of his four-part HBO docuseries, NYC Epicenters 9/11 through 2021 and a half. Early reports noted that the final chapter featured theories about the reported causes of the World Trade Center building's collapses. The re-edited version is now 30 minutes shorter than previously planned. The new cut of Part 4 came just days after an interview with the New York Times in which Lee defended the inclusion of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, he told the New York Times that he wanted to include the conspiracy theories. And I will tell you, the day that all of this went down, which just working that afternoon, it was one of the most horrible professional days of my life and of all of our lives in America, but just trying to convey the absolute raw emotion that was happening 20 years ago. As we watched the World Trade Center towers come down, I got on the show. He's one of the great engineers in our country, a local guy named John Magnuson. And you recognize his work. He designed the Safeco Field moving roof, Seahawks Stadium, Benaroya Hall, and then things all around the country. And he was also part of the committee that examined the collapse of the World Trade Center towers. And, you know, that was the first time I'd ever talked to John Magnuson, was on 9/11. But since then, he and I and our wives, we've become friends. I'm going to have John on a little bit later this week, and he's going to talk about why these conspiracy theories are just so outrageous. But the fact that Spike Lee was trying to include them in a 9/11 documentary, it's just incredibly irresponsible. And to suggest still that there were, you know, explosives planted. And Spike Lee's main thing is the jet fuel burns at 1,800 degrees and it takes 2,600 degrees to melt steel in building construction. But what none of these people take into account is, yeah, it might take 2,800 degrees to turn steel beams into molten steel, but at a far lesser degree, like 1,600, the temperature of jet fuel burning, it can compromise the integrity of those steel beams. They become like pieces of licorice in there. And then what happens is you have this pancake effect where one floor collapsed on the next, on the next, on the next, and all this weight started coming down. And people said, yeah, but you saw this explosion at the bottom of the towers where all the smoke came out. Or it was dust because of all the air inside that building. It was being compressed at an incredible rate as the floors were collapsing on each other. And I know a little bit about this because I was with John Magnuson just a few nights ago talking about all this. So anyway, we're going to get him on the show later this week, and he's going to explain just from a pure engineering standpoint and as somebody who actually investigated the collapse of the towers, why these conspiracy theories that are still raging 20 years later are so outrageous. So we'll get him in here to explain that to you and to me. But for now, that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We are going to check the news for you, and then we got to do a your read on the Big Lead, because we've been talking about the permanent emergency in Washington, how politicians are using COVID, global warming, climate change to take away your personal rights and freedoms. We'll recap what you are saying about it. Your read on the Big Lead coming up right after we check the news as the Dory Monson Show continues. Good, solid political reporting. There's a website called Mediaite. They have a lot of news media clips. But they also have some of the most biggest hack leftist writers that you'll ever see. They have a piece up today I wanted to share with you the opening paragraph of this piece. There's a lot of talk that Donald Trump's going to run against Joe Biden in 2024, although I don't think there's any way Joe Biden is going to run for president again. If you're just joining us, we played earlier that Joe Biden cannot speak anymore. He's just not making any sense whatsoever.
Group I have standing with me, led by Chuck Schumer, and your congresswoman, is this your district?
Grace Meng.
Oh, it's Grace's district.
No. What's sad about that is he obviously forgets the name of this congresswoman, but he panics, and you can hear him go, he's almost, you know, gasping with panic when he realizes, I can't remember names anymore. And that's when Chuck Schumer quickly jumps in and tries to save him by saying the name. You have to listen very carefully, but I'm going to play that again because, you know, he mentions Chuck Schumer, and then he says, and your congresswoman, and you hear an audible panic in the gasping of his voice when he can't remember the name.
Group I have standing with me, led by Chuck Schumer, and your congresswoman, is this your district?
Grace Meng.
Oh, it's Grace's district. No, and have zero emissions, net emissions by 2050. By 2020, make sure all our electricity is zero emissions.
All our electricity will be zero emissions by 2020. So he's invented a time machine, and we're going to go back several years, and then by last year, we'll get to zero emissions. Onward we go, Joe.
This summer alone, communities with over 100 million Americans, 100 American Americans call home, have been struck by extreme weather. Each dollar we invest, every dollar we raise, a city block by 2 feet, flood-proof power stations, sanitations.
He has cue cards in front of him. It's written out, but each city block by 2 feet, power stations. It's down to word salad time, which is very sad, but it's also very scary. And frankly, it's infuriating because his wife let him run. The Democratic Party let him run. And because of that, 13 brave servicemen and a woman were blown up in Afghanistan because of the vacuum of leadership. We don't know if terrorists are being led into the country with the Afghan airlift. They aren't being vetted, but these are very scary times. So because of all of this, Donald Trump is reportedly going to run against Joe Biden or whoever in 2024. But I wanted to read to you the opening paragraph from the story at Mediaite. I think any one of us could write this one. Several of former President Donald Trump's confidants say that President Joe Biden's political misfortunes around the Afghanistan withdrawal have convinced Trump to run again in 2024, while others say he was already going to run. And still others say he has not made up his mind. What kind of reporting is that? So some say he's going to run. Others say he was already planning on. Others say he hasn't made up his mind. Well, that's quite a lead draft. I'm guessing one of those three is going to be correct. But another example, too, of how the media is just putting pillows down to give Joe Biden a soft landing. They called it Joe Biden's political misfortunes around the Afghanistan withdrawal. That wasn't misfortune. That was cognitive impairment that led to people being killed, being brutally blown apart. But that's because of, you know, just the evil of politics that put a guy in clear cognitive decline in charge of things at the White House. So, yes, we will continue to keep an eye on all of that. Also, closer to home, couple of stories that we've been watching closely. In Clallam and Jefferson counties, they are mandating that you show proof of vaccination to get into restaurants and bars there. I told you a couple days ago, my sources tell me that Jay Inslee is strongly down the road of making that a statewide mandate. It's just a matter of time. But in King County, Dow Constantine admits that he is absolutely going to try to get a proof of vaccination mandate in King County. And he says, well, I have to do that so we can stay open.
We have the opportunity to keep activities going without having the kind of restrictions we had to have a year ago.
And he told King 5 News that you don't have to carry your card.
Well, you know, most places that currently require proof of vaccination are taking a broad approach to this. And we will, at least at the outset, be taking a broad approach.
And then he said, but if you violate this, say there are four people waiting to get into a restaurant and the kids, can I see your vaccination password, please, sir? And you slide past the line and get into the restaurant, and then they catch you, and you hadn't been checked, you could be permanently banished.
Well, that has been and will be a challenge. Obviously, if you want to take the chance of being ejected permanently from your favorite watering hole or sports franchise, you have the right to take that chance.
As I said, they're already doing this in Clallam and Jefferson counties. I had their health director, Dr. Allison Berry, on a couple of hours ago, getting lots of feedback. Your read on the Big Lead. Dory, listening to your interview with Allison Berry, she is making my blood boil. Does she not know that the voters voted for smoking bans indoors? It wasn't a mandate. As an unelected official, where does she think her power starts and stops? If you follow Representative Jim Walsh, you will have seen that COVID case numbers in Jeff Clallam County are so skewed, they don't have 100,000 residents, so there aren't 100,000 people sick with COVID. They are fear-mongering and overstepping their authority. Another person, Scott, writes, the public official you're speaking with apparently believes that this is the most deadly disease known to man. When they start with that, though, it's easy for them, like the governor, to pretend that somehow their actions are protected by the Constitution. The Constitution guarantees limits on government, not constant rules and regulations based on questionable science dished out by politicians, media influencers, and spineless bureaucrats. Another person from the 425, that was one fun interview to listen to. I'd like to know if you saw she would have ended the interview without staying on task. Dealing with restaurants only, she made a great point about smoking in bars and restaurants in comparison. Personally, I'll just cook for myself. I'm hearing that from a lot of people. They're just not going to go out if they have to show proof of vaccination. All right, I'll share a few more of your comments, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio. All straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show continues. Well, as we talked about, Dow Constantine says that he needs the vaccination passport for restaurants and bars here. That's not the only place where they're tearing away at our rights. I've been telling you that this is all very incremental, but they want to tear away our rights during this crisis. Long-term care insurance, the biggest ripoff, it's an income tax. And the only way you get out of it is if you have a policy already. Well, my wife and I do. I'm not going to pay the tax. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. But all the private companies are pulling out. I talked about this months ago. I wish you had taken my advice if you did not. All three of our daughters, they got out of this horrible state plan by getting a private program that's a billion times better at a fraction of the cost. But for most people, it's a 0.58% income tax. It's the backdoor way for them to get an income tax. The maximum benefits, even if you work for 30, 40 years, are $36,500. If you make $75,000 a year, they're going to take about $450 a year out of your paycheck. If you move to another state when you retire, you get nothing in return. If you live in Oregon and Idaho and work in Washington, you get the money taken out. You get no benefits at all. But according to King 5, The state is doing this because you are too incompetent.
State lawmakers decided not enough people were saving for long-term care, and that costs the state in the long run. So the state is going to start saving your money for you.
How does that feel? They decided you weren't saving enough, so the state is going to save your money for you. You want to know what totalitarianism is all about? Want to know what it means when they take your money against your will? You don't want to buy this product. You don't want to contribute to this tax, but they make you? You don't think that's a step towards Marxism? Because if you don't think that, you are sadly mistaken. Okay, a couple more in the your read on the big lead here. As I said, we talked about what's going on in the counties that are mandating the vaccination passport. Wow. Who is this anti-American you have on the air, Dory? She already has you as an enemy of the state. You're a hateful fearmonger to her. And she's absolutely a big Inslee supporter. They're using cases to support them taking control of everything. But this person would disagree. Wow, Dory, the doctor's 100% right. You, Dory, continue to push thoughts and info that are misleading and dangerous. People listen to you, they will die as you sit in your 6-plus-figure job and fully vaccinated family unit. Have a great day. Who have I said not to get vaccinated? I say I did. You should if you want to. I just don't think the government should force it. With all that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
All right, let's start with Whoopi. Anybody know what game show that references? On The View, Whoopi Goldberg, she had a very powerful line today. She was talking about the new abortion law in Texas, and she said something that was so powerfully crafted that you could tell that she was about ready to pause for the applause that never came because what she said sounded so incredibly stupid.
Here's the deal. Abortion did not come around for religious reasons. The reason abortion came about is because people got tired of tripping over women in bathrooms with hangers in their body. Okay? This was always supposed to be about safe and clean.
People got tired of tripping over women in bathrooms with hangers coming out of their bodies. I had not heard about that. Whoopee! Let me check the text. Let me see if anybody knows what game show that was a reference to. The Whoopee. Nobody got it. Come on, 98973? What game show were they always saying? Whoopee! I just thought somebody would get it. Joe Biden climbed out of the balcony on the Muppet Show along with Chuck Schumer to yell at some 7-year-old kid at a public appearance.
Well, let's get this done.
President, look at that nice kid with the American flag. Say hello.
How are you, pal?
What's your name? He can't hear us.
How old are you?
7.
How are you getting old?
Is that nice?
And by the way, the neat thing about America, every time we end up with a problem going into a serious circumstance, we come out better than we went in. That's because we're so diverse. That's America. Yeah. Be proud of it. Thank you.
Except in Afghanistan, Joe, where we came out much, much worse, thanks to you. I have some breaking news for you. A couple of weeks ago, I talked with a woman down in Maple Valley. Her husband, out for a Sunday morning run, was hit by a car, left for dead in a ditch. We talked with Michelle Moore about her loss. and she was just hopeful that somebody could identify the car because they had some still photos from security cams that identified a possible suspect vehicle. I'm very happy to tell you, if this helps the family get a little bit of solace, that the King County Sheriff's Office says a 15-year-old has been identified as the possible suspect in that fatal hit-and-run of a Maple Valley dad. 15 years old, that means they'll have him back out almost immediately. All right, that's the breaking news. Going to check the news for you, CBS. Tom and Curley Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times.
Sometimes patience is the key to victory. Sometimes it leads to very little, and it seems like it's not worth it. And you wonder why you waited so long for something so disappointing.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.